Hi, in this mini lecture I'm going to talk to you about how insects detect touch, movement and sound. They're quite different modalities of the sensory system, but there are many commonalities in the types of sense organs that detect them, so let's just have a look at them one by one. First, touch is perhaps the simplest one. It's sensed by mechanoreceptive sensilla. So sensillum is a sense organ, mechanoreceptive meaning detecting movement. And usually they're the hairs on that are covering the insect's body, sitting on a flexible socket. When the hair moves, it stimulates a dendrite that sits underneath the hair that then creates an action potential in a sensory neuron sitting underneath the sense organ, and then that message is taken along an axon into the nervous system. So that's touch. It's a very important sense for insects. If they're walking, if they can feel their body is moving up against a substrate, or they're wedged in somewhere, you know, the sense of touch is very important to insects. Another way that touch is important is in association with detection of movement. So very frequently we find specific clusters of sense organs at the joints of the legs that detect the movement of segments against each other. So those sense organs, they're often called hair plates because they look like a little plate of fine hairs. They're called proprioceptors because the sense of proprioception is detecting the body's position in relation to other parts of the body. So they're the hair plates. There are other proprioceptors that are called campaniform sensilla. Campaniform is Latin meaning bell-like, and it's because they have just a little cuticular dome, and so they detect movement or stresses in the cuticle. We'll look at them in more detail in a moment. The other way of sensing movement is sensing movement through the air. Obviously insects, a feature is the fact that they can fly, so they have to have very good feedback mechanisms to detect their rate of movement, and so many sense organs on the outside of the body and the proprioceptors are involved in providing feedback that allows insects to modulate the body position in relation to the environment. The third sense that we'll look at is the detection of sound. Insects are quite different to us. We have one set of sound detecting organs, the ears. But if you look across the breadth of the insect orders, there are many, many different ways that they can detect sound. The base of the antennae and a structure called the Johnston's organ is perhaps the most commonly found region for sound detection. This diagram from Volker Hartenstein's Atlas of Drosophila Development shows the rough distribution of sense organs on an adult Drosophila. The blue dots are distributed everywhere. Well, they're the touch receptors. In Drosophila, they tend to be divided into what are called the macroketes and the microketes. The macroketes are the big long hairs typically found on the notum, on the back between the wings. Microketes are much smaller touch receptors all over the body, the abdomen, concentrated on the legs. There are many, many of them called interommatidial bristles on the eyes. So they're distributed all over the body. Campaniform sensilla, the green-coated ones, are far less common. But that doesn't mean they're not as important. They're distributed over the wings because they need to provide feedback on movement of the wing as the insect flies. They're also found on the legs and a few other parts of the body. And the purple and mauve coloured receptors are the olfactory and contact chemoreceptors. We'll talk more about them in the next lectures, but just as a brief overview, they're primarily concentrated on the antennae for olfactory receptors and on the legs and mouth parts for the contact chemoreceptors. Okay, let's look at these types again and just look at some of the formal names. The hair types, the external ones, the sensilla chaetica, sensilla trichodia, and ceti are some of the words that you'll see. As we've said, their main function is to detect touch, air movement, body position, pressure in aquatic insects. The dome types are the campaniform sensilla. They detect shearing stresses in the cuticle, provide feedback on flight, but also movement of the legs. A type we haven't mentioned yet are those that are invisible from the outside of the body. They are attached to the cuticle, but they're attached internally, and they're called the caudotonal organs, or you'll sometimes see them called scolopidia. They have multiple functions, but their primary sort of ancestral function was detection of movement, proprioception, but by being attached internally to the cuticle. Secondarily, they've become involved in detecting sound, the insect ears, various parts of the body, including the Johnston's organ that I mentioned earlier. So these caudotonal organs can be modified to detect different types of stimuli. And the fourth type are the multipolar cells or multidendritic neurons that are found underneath the epidermis. They're invisible from the outside of the animal, but they have very widely ramifying dendrites that might spread underneath the epidermis. So it's like a network of dendritic sensitivity under the epidermis to detect sort of indentation of the cuticle, or they might be sitting on the internal organs such as the ovaries of a female, so that they give feedback on movement of the eggs down the oviduct. So they can monitor the internal state of the body organs, which is a type of proprioception. They also can detect noxious stimuli such as high temperatures, heat stimuli that are damaging. Okay, let's just look at the basic outline of the nervous system and where the sensory neurons fit into this. Sensory neurons are a part of the nervous system, but the cell bodies are sitting way out on the periphery of the animal, a long way from the central nervous system. So the sensory neuron sits underneath the associated receptor. Here on the left-hand side in blue is a touch receptor. The neuron, when it's excited, sends action potentials along the axon into the central nervous system. And it's there in the CNS, in the neuropil, where the sensory input is integrated, and perhaps there can be some motor output in response to it. There's a nice little reflex that's being used a lot in Drosophila, is you can immobilize an animal and touch or tickle one particular hair on its back, and it will bring the nearest leg up to groom that spot if you tickle it. And it's a very hardwired reflex based on stimulation of a single touch receptor induces the grooming response. And if you tickle a different hair, it'll bring it on a different side of the body, it'll bring the leg up from the other side of the body to groom that point. So that's a very simple reflex circuitry involving the touch receptors. Okay, let's look at some of the different types of sensilla. In the next mini lecture, we'll talk about the gustatory and olfactory sensilla. As you can see on the left-hand side, the gustatory sensilla they're called unipolar, as in they have a single dendrite. There is a constriction in the dendrite of all of these, the gustatory, olfactory, caudotonal, and the external mechanoreceptor types. That's where a cilium is located in the dendrite. Now you can see that the gustatory receptor is unipolar, the olfactory receptor is unipolar, but there is branching of the dendrites at the tip. The caudotonal neuron has a very linear, straight, distal dendritic segment, and the external mechanoreceptor has a structure called a tubular body in the tip, which we'll look at in the next slide. And you can see the dendrite of the external mechanoreceptor sits at the base of this external hair. A notable thing about these sense organs that makes them so interesting developmentally is that all of the cells that make up one sense organ are derived from a single precursor cell earlier in development. So this lineage, you don't need to learn this lineage, but it's shown here on the right hand side just to demonstrate that the cells are the socket, the shaft, the sheath, the ciliated neuron, and another type of neuron, the multidendritic or multipolar neuron, are all derived from a single lineage. The terminology on that right-hand side there is terminology that's used commonly in Drosophila sensory studies of sensory development. In the mid there, the ptormygin cell, trichogen cell, and thecogen cell are terms that are more generally used to apply to all insects. The ptormygin cell is a cell that secretes the socket, shown as little dints here that encircles the base of the hair. The trichogen cell is a cell that, in development, sends out a long process, which is going to be the future hair. And during development, that process, which is hair shaped but it's purely cellular, starts to retreat back towards the cell body, and as it does so, it secretes the cuticle, and it retreats right back to wrap the to remain a part of the sensory organ and wrap the thecogen cell, but it's done its job of secreting the hair, leaving that behind it. Similarly, that's how the tormentin cell secretes the socket. Thecogen cell, thecogen means sheath, it wraps the dendrite, and the dendrite and sensory neuron are the central of this sort of multi-wrapped cells. Okay, here's a scanning, a transmission electron micrograph of a tactile receptor of a fly. Look at the tip, you can see that there's a structure called the dendritic sheath. It's electron dense, it shows up densely, but it wraps the distal dendrite, and TB stands for tubular body, which is a characteristic of these tactile receptors as well as the campaniform receptors and the hair plates. They all have a tubular body at the tip. It's an internal structure composed of many microtubules, and it acts like a internal cellular skeleton, so it stretches the membrane of the distal tip of the dendrite over this cytoskeleton, and there are ion channels in that membrane that are very sensitive, so when they're indented against the cytoskeleton, the tubular body, these mechanoreceptive channels open up and there's ionic flow into the sensory neuron, and that's what generates the receptor potential that then generates the action potentials. So this color diagram shows the multiple cells once again. You can see the ciliary region in the dendrite, you can see the tubular body, and you can see this highly sculptured structure, very specific structure of the socket and the hair shaft. So these receptors are directionally sensitive. If the hair is bent one way, it's unlikely to stimulate or stretch the membrane of the tubular body. Whereas if it's bent in the other direction, it's maximally sensitive. If it's bent in different directions, there's different degrees of sensitivity. And also the hairs themselves and the structure of the socket dictate the directional sensitivity of a sense organ. This is confirmed by recording the electrical activity of these receptors using very fine electrodes and very powerful amplifiers. This slide just shows that selective movement of the hair. Just because of the design of the hair and socket, it can't move in one direction, but it's quite flexible when it moves in the other directions, creating that receptor potential. And recording the electrophysiology of sense organs, there are two types of responses. You can hear the action potentials or see them on an oscilloscope screen. And a phasic response is when the hair is moved a little bit and you get this very high frequency number of action potentials initially, but then it drops off over time. That's called a phasic response. But another type of response is if you move the hair and just kept it in the non-standard position, then you'll get what's called a tonic response in some cases, where you just get a regular higher frequency of action potentials than you would if it was in its resting position. So let's look at some of the locations where sensory hairs are found on insects. This is the eye of a bee, and you'll see that there are many, many interomatidial bristles on the eye. It's believed that they may be there to detect any dust or foreign particles on the eyes, and that feeds back into the grooming system of the insect, because if you watch insects, they spend a lot of time grooming their eyes, their mouth parts, and other parts of their body. Bees are covered with these hairs. I'm not sure whether all of those are actually tactile mechanoreceptors. It's quite common to find uninnervated receptors just to provide thermal buffering. Okay, let's look at the tarsus of an insect. Many receptors on the tips of the legs, because they're A, in contact with the substrate and they have to hold on. And we're looking here at the tips, the tarsal claws of a fly, and you can see that the claws themselves are not sensory receptors, but there are many sensory receptors gathered around them. They're The serrated hairs are touch receptors, and the ones with blunt tips that aren't serrated along the length of the shaft, they're actually gustatory receptors. And there are other receptors associated with where that feathery structure at the tip called an empodium inserts. Let's make a comparison between a big fly and a small fly. It's quite interesting that some of the receptors are very highly conserved across relatives, but and so the bigger the insect, it's not necessarily the case that all of the receptors just increase in numbers. The touch receptors do. On the left-hand side, we've got Formia, which is a blowfly about the size of one of our blowflies. And on the right, we've got a Drosophila. And in the inset, you can see that they're shown at the same scale. So the Drosophila is way, way smaller than a Formia. But there are two sense organs. These happen to be gustatory sense organs that you can see they're in identical locations despite the different scaling factors between the two insects. But the touch receptors and taste receptors are increased in number in Formia compared to Drosophila. So there is some scaling in relation to size of some receptors, but not of others. Wing veins, this is some scanning electron micrographs from Bromwell and Cribb showing wing veins and the touch receptors on the wings, and they insert just on the wing veins in between the wing membrane. And they're probably detecting airflow over the wings. And in the bottom image, you can see that there's some sculpturing of the cuticle, and it looks like that there's a notch in the hair shaft that locks into that, so that might provide some of this directional sensitivity that I mentioned earlier in the touch receptors. Okay, another type of sense organ that's certainly not as common as the touch receptors, but they have a very important role in behavior are the campaniform sensilla. Excuse me. They have the same ground plan as a touch receptor, but it's as if the hair shaft has shrunk right down so it's only a dome. So therefore they're not touch receptive anymore, but they do detect movements in the cuticle along the plane of the cuticular axis. So if you can imagine, if there are campaniform sensilla on a leg, as the leg bears weight, there are stresses in the cuticle, and that will stimulate the campaniform sensilla. So the dome sort of squeezes the tubular body. The structure of the dendrite and the sensory neuron and the cells underneath, the trichogen, tormogen, thigogen, etc., are the same as in tactile receptors. So they're far less common. But in some places they're highly concentrated. And one location where there are very many campaniform sensilla is on the halteres of Diptera. The halteres oscillate in counterphase or out of phase with the wings as a Dipteran insect flies. And so these campaniform sensilla at the base of the halteres are detecting the movements of the halteres and sending massive amount of signaling into the central nervous system every time they change direction. So they're acting as little gyroscopes that are giving feedback to the insect on its flight, on the movements within the air. So quite exquisite control over flight is mediated by these campaniform sensilla. They're also present on the legs, as I've mentioned earlier. This is a scanning electron micrograph of a blowfly leg, and the green-coded sense organs are gustatory receptors. They have blunt tips. The red-coated receptors are touch receptors. They have pointy tips. And the blue-coated receptors, there's just two of them. You can see the campaniform sensilla just in the cuticle of the leg there. This is the tibia, so it's the equivalent of below the knee of the insect, that there are these two campaniform sensilla. And you can see that they're oriented across the insect's body so that they're directionally sensitive to when that tibia would bend as it bore weight, and that's when those campaniform sensilla would be stimulated. They're very important proprioceptors. Actually, when you look at the axon of the campaniform sensilla compared to a gustatory sensillum, the gustatory sensilla and the touch receptors, the general touch receptors, they have very fine axonal projections into the nervous system. They don't have big dendritic arborizations where they go into the CNS. whereas the campaniform sensilla, despite the fact that externally they are just very small sense organs and don't look very significant, their axon projections are massive within the nervous system, so they're providing a lot of input into many different parts of the nervous systems to show that demonstrates that the proprioception is a very important part of behavioural regulation. There are campaniform sensilla in some unusual places. These are filiform hairs, very long hairs on the surface of a cricket, and they detect movements, air movements, or even sound. And campaniform sensilla on the sitting on around the socket, they detect when the filiform hair is moved hard over. It's maximally stimulated, and they're out of their normal range of sensitivity. That's when the campaniform sensilla are stimulated. So the complexity of these sense organs is quite astonishing. Hair plates are they're like the campaniform sensilla. They're very small and inconspicuous, but they have a very large sensory input into the nervous system. They're clustered short hairs that sit right at the position where they're stimulated when one segment moves against another. These are the hair plates on the legs of a hive beetle that Bronwyn Cribb once again took these scanning electron micrographs. And you can see how small they are in relation to those other sensory hairs that are sitting underneath the body there and out on the legs. So these are sitting on the trochanter, I'd say. I think that's the trochanter. Yeah, it might be the coxa, I'm not absolutely sure. Okay, another type of sense organ that's not conspicuous from the outside at all are the chordotonal organs. They're also called scolopidia, and you can tell that the ground plan, the number of cells and the way the neuron is shaped with the single dendrite, that they're related to the olfactory, the touch and the gustatory receptors, but they're different in that there's no external structure at all. We already mentioned how campaniform sensilla could have a similar evolutionary origin to the touch receptors. It's just that the hair is shortened. Well, it seems that the chordotonal organs have gone even further and are completely internalized. A feature is that the cilium is stretched within this cavity formed between the cap cell and the scolopale cell. And so they're very, very sensitive to vibration. They're attached to the cuticle at both ends. The glial cell is attached to cuticle as well as the attachment cell, so that any movement of those two cuticular parts in relation to each other is detected by the sensory neuron. So they're used for internal proprioception. And you can imagine them within a leg, they might be attached to two sides of a leg, and so if the leg bends slightly, that these guys would be stimulated in the same way that chordotonal organs are stimulated by movements within the cuticle itself. But secondarily, they've become involved in sound reception and then vibration detection. If we look at all insects have what's called a Johnston's organ around the base of the antenna. In some insects it's far more developed than in others. This is an electron micrograph of a midge, and you can see the swollen basal segment of the pedicel. Well, that's jam-packed with chordotonal organs. So when this insect flies and the antennae bend backwards, they're putting stress on the support of the antenna in the pedicel there. And if you looked internally in the pedicel, you'd find a massive array of chordotonal organs, hundreds to thousands of them. Mosquitoes have many, many thousands in their Johnston's organs because they're very sensitive to sound. And there's a complex cuticular arrangement which is really difficult to communicate through these images. But remember, Johnston's organ is the source of hearing in most insects. There are other locations have become ears of insects. In some Orthoptera crickets, there's a structure on the tibia called a tympanum, and you can see that the cuticle has a different structure. It's a suspended drum. Often there's an air cavity beneath it, but also many chordotonal organs attached to it. And so they're able to detect sound through the movement of that drum. Praying mantis have ears underneath their body, and different groups of insects have evolved ears in different locations, but the common feature is that they all have used chordotonal organs to produce the sensitivity that's required to detect sound. The last class that we'll talk about are a group of receptors that are called the multipolar or multidendritic neurons. So they're very different to the others we've talked about so far. The others are unipolar. They have a single ciliated dendrite that goes to some cuticular structure. These guys have a neuron, sensory neuron, a small cell body sitting underneath the cuticle, and they have massive branches of dendrites. They have a single axon that runs to the central nervous system, but their dendritic arbors or branches cover a very large area underneath the cuticle. This diagram here shows it's a confocal microscope image, shows some of the multidendritic neurons underneath underneath the cuticle of a Drosophila larva. They've used a sort of coding method here to show each neuron in a different color. You can see that they cover a very large part underneath the epidermis. Because the larva is soft-bodied, it's very important to get feedback on the body position when they're crawling, and it seems that that's one of the functions of these multidendritic neurons. This confocal image also shows these little hooks that sit underneath the body of a maggot, of a Drosophila maggot, as well as any other fly, that they use to grab onto the substrate when they're crawling. And so these dendrites are stretched and relaxed comprehensively while the animal is crawling, and that's providing feedback to the animal. It was also discovered in Drosophila by using a screen to show the response to noxious stimuli such as high temperatures. A hot probe was put near but not touching larvae, and a mutagenesis screen was done, and it was discovered that there's a subset of these multidendritic neurons are required to detect that heat stimulus. So proprioception and damaging stimuli. The complete function of these sense organs is still not very well understood because they're very difficult to image and record from in a broad range of insects. Internally, can be found over structures such as the ovaries. They can be along the gut and detecting internal movements. So they're proprioceptors in that regard as well. Okay, so that's an introduction to sense organs. In the next mini lecture, we'll talk in detail about the olfactory and gustatory receptors.